Welcome to Enclave on Air. I'm your host today, Jessica Hergert. Enclave on Air is a podcast from Enclave, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Enclave covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, sponsored by Daiichi Sankyo, we had the pleasure of speaking with Howard S. Hochster, MD, FACP, a distinguished professor of medicine, associate director for clinical research, and director of gastrointestinal oncology at Rutgers Cancer Institute, and director of oncology research at RWJ Barnabas Health, to discuss some of the main implications of research over the past year on the paradigm of gastric and gastroesophageal junction cancer. In our exclusive interview, Hochster provided insight into the current gastric and GEJ landscape, spotlighting molecular testing approaches, the roles of chemoimmunotherapy combinations, ongoing research with biomarkers of response, and optimal treatment sequencing for patients with HER2-positive disease. When, and with what assays, are you evaluating molecular markers in your patients?
Well, I think the use of molecular markers and specifically next-generation sequencing is becoming more and more common. And its utility depends a little bit on what kind of cancer you're treating. For example, I treat pancreatic cancer, and we're very interested in patients who may have BRCA mutations, but that's very uncommon. And 95% of patients have RAS mutations, and we can't do anything about that today, even though in a couple years we might be able to, but so it's not that helpful. But for colon cancer, there's important mutations, gastric cancer, and then, you know, lung cancer therapy, for example, is really built around certain translocations mutations. So those are areas where you can't even get started without knowing. And in colon cancer today, if we know the RAS status, if they have a KRAS or NRAS mutation, we know what kind of antibody to pair with the chemotherapy. So these are kind of become standard of practice. I think what's going to be even more helpful is looking at circulating tumor DNA, which uses next generation sequencing to look at how much DNA is coming from the tumors, and what mutations we can maybe treat as the tumor evolves. Because the tissue sequencing is really one point in time, and sometimes under the pressure of treatment, we see that the mutational landscape evolves, and we can use treatments that we didn't think we could use in the beginning.
How have this year's FDA approvals of chemoimmunotherapy affected the frontline landscape of gastric cancer, as well as treatment sequencing for patients with and without HER2-positive disease?
Today, in the treatment of gastric cancer, we have a lot of options. First, we need to know if patients have HER2 overexpression, as in breast cancer. It's not nearly as common in gastric cancer. It's maybe 25 to 30% of patients, but they have a little bit of a different pathway. And now we're using anti-HER2 drugs, either singlets or doublets, and maybe immunotherapy as well. For patients with gastric cancer, immunotherapies definitely become part of the armamentarium, either first line or in maintenance. It depends a little bit on their anti-PD-1 score, on the tissue staining, but it's clear that people who have high scores benefit a lot from immunotherapy.
How strongly are you following the NCCN guidelines when it comes to cutoffs for treatment selection with immunotherapy?
Well, the NCCN guidelines, I think, are evidence-based and good guidelines to help us. I mean, each patient is individual. We need to decide what's best for them. But my personal approach is really to look at the PD-1 score and try to decide if they can tolerate chemo, if they can tolerate immunotherapy, and make a recommendation based on those criteria.
What are your thoughts on using gene expression profiles as biomarkers, perhaps in combination with established markers like PD-L1 to better guide treatment selection?
When we're choosing therapy today, we have a lot of options to help guide us besides just like this is the chemo regimen. So we're able to look at the genomic profiling of the tumor. We're always looking for actionable targeted mutations, which could provide a maintenance or an easier therapy besides chemotherapy. Many times we have a challenge of getting it approved because I think everybody's aware that these mutational changes are not confined to any one specific tumor, and if it's very rare, for example, in cholangiocarcinoma, if you have a HER2 overexpression or a mutation, it's very difficult for us to get these drugs approved today, even though they're approved for breast cancer. So the first is trying to find out if there is a targetable mutation or an actionable mutation, and the second is the challenge of getting the drug for the patient today.
After seeing the results of the third arm from the CheckMate 649 trial, do you believe dual immunotherapy has a role to play?
The question of using an anti-PD-1 and an anti-CTLA-4 drug is always a good one. It's a little bit of a trade-off of toxicity versus benefit. I think in general, using more than one checkpoint inhibitor tends to be better for response, but it also comes at a little bit of a cost. But this is just the beginning. I mean, there are a lot more checkpoints out there and more checkpoint inhibitory drugs besides PD-1 and CTLA-4, so we're looking forward to having other checkpoint inhibitors so that maybe we'll have different doublets that will provide better responses with less toxicity.
Do you tend to reach for trastuzumab deruxtecan in the second-line setting for patients with HER2 positivity?
For gastric cancer, for patients who are HER2 positive, yes, initially we tend to use an anti-HER2 antibody such as trastuzumab, but the ADC, the dexrotecan drug, is quite active, and we've tried to use that in the second line therapy if we don't have a trial.
Now, given the data from DESTINY-Gastric02 from this year's ESMO Congress, what is your expectation for the DESTINY-Gastric04 trial?
Well, the DESTINY-2 trial looked at previously treated gastric cancer patients that were HER2 overexpressing with this antibody drug conjugate, trastuzumab dexrotecan. And in the 4 study, they'll be randomized against paclitaxel and ramucirumab. I'm sure that the antibody drug conjugate will be less toxic and easier for patients, and hopefully it'll be more effective as well. So I think that's a really good study, and I look forward to seeing the results.
Is there anything else about the current gastric cancer paradigm that you'd like to emphasize?
Well, there's a lot we still have to learn about gastric cancer. I mean, we know that occasionally patients have mismatch repair enzyme deficiency, HER2 overexpression, or a viral infection that may make you more susceptible to immunotherapy, but there's a lot more involved to understanding the biology, and we look forward to seeing some of these trials that are kind of more basket trials looking at different ways of stratifying patients that will hopefully translate into better clinical outcomes.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive on Air, sponsored by Daiichi Sankyo. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and at OncLiveSOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive on Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive on Air.